D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
What difference should your faith make in the world? Find out on today's Truths That Transform.
This is Truths That Transform.
Welcome to Truths That Transform, a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we are standing for truth and defending your freedom. These are difficult times for Christians in public life. All around us, the culture is being turned upside down. There is a temptation to retreat, to go back inside our churches with other like-minded people away from the cultural storms that are blowing outside. But that is not what the Lord Jesus Christ has called us to. He has called us to be salt and light, to live out our faith in the world and in a way that transforms the world. On today's program, you're going to hear from Johnny Erickson Tada, who after almost 50 years in a wheelchair is more productive for Christ than ever. And we'll share a brand new ministry resource with you that will help you understand, perhaps as never before, how God wants to use you in several different spheres of life. As we begin, I recently had a chance to sit down and talk with Dr. Robbie Gallaty. Robbie was a former drug addict who was radically transformed by Christ. And now, as a pastor, he is passionate about God transforming lives and about those transformed lives transforming culture. Robbie, thank you for joining us for this program. We're really delighted to have you with us today.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
These are challenging times for the gospel in America and in much of the Western world, where some of the religious freedoms that we've had and clearly taken for granted now seem to be in the crosshairs, in many, many ways. But this is not something new to the Church of Jesus Christ, yes?
Amen. Yeah. Very similar to the world Jesus stepped into when he came. We're living in tumultuous times, yes. But if you look at the history leading up to the incarnation of Christ, it was a very similar situation. The pressure of the Romans and the persecution of the Romans, the corruption of the Sadducees, the priesthood. There were this manipulation and conspiracy of purchasing the priesthood leading up to that. There was the pressure and the influence of Hellenism on society with the infiltration of theater and media and athletics and education. And so the times we live in today are very similar to the times back then. I would even say back then maybe worse than today. And so Jesus gave us a strategy. You know, what can we do as Christians? And he gave that strategy when he called the disciples. And if you think about the very first call, he calls these average, ordinary fishermen, blue-collar workers, and he gives them a message and he gives them a method. Think about this. The message is always the same. Repent and believe in the gospel. The kingdom of God is near. And so Jesus understood, he wanted us to understand that this is a present power for us to live in today. It's not something we have to wait for the future. So he said, listen, the kingdom of heaven is here. Repent and believe. That's the entrance into the kingdom of heaven. That's the invitation message. It's always the same. But once you invite people into this wonderful relationship with the Lord, then there's this investing part. So follow me, he says, and I'll make you to become fishers of men. I love what Herschel Hobbes said years ago. He said, the evangelism process is never complete until the evangelized becomes an evangelizer. Mm-hmm. And it's this beautiful picture of evangelism and discipleship.
Mm-hmm. We're blessed to be a blessing. We become disciples to be a disciple maker.
Amen.
Yeah?
Amen.
How should Christians look at every sphere of human endeavor, but including government and politics as an area of ministry?
Yeah, you know, I think when Christians say, I'm not involved in politics, we can never say that. Because the very establishment of the local church that we're a part of is a political statement. I mean, think about it. Because we're saying that Jesus Christ is Lord, and everybody else is not. Jesus is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and everyone else is not. So the very statement that we make by being a part of a local community called the church is a political statement. Mm-hmm. I think the reason we're not seeing more Christians be salt and light in the world, which is what Jesus said. And it's what's interesting about that passage is, notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say, would you please become salt of the earth? He doesn't say, would you please turn on your light? Here's what he says emphatically. He says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You know, we always say, and I appreciate your ministry, I appreciate Evangelism Explosion. We've used it at churches I've pastored for years. And here's what we found out about people. You need a tool to share the gospel. You've got to have a tool. You know, there are a lot of tools out there. You got to have a tool. But one of the reasons I think people are not as evangelistic as they could be or should be is because they have nothing in the well. And so we have this generation of undiscipled disciples. They want to share the gospel. They feel like they should share the gospel. They don't know how. And you know as well as I do, when people don't know what to do, they don't do anything at all.
Right.
And so I think when you get people in these small intentional discipleship groups, I've been impacted personally by discipleship because I'm the product of discipleship. Mm-hmm. You know, we always say, get into the Word until the Word gets into you. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jesus was the walking Word. So we want to get in the Word and the Word until the Word gets into us so the Word comes out of us.
So our commitment to discipleship and our purpose for evangelism should be an overflow of our love for Christ so that we almost can't not tell other people. And yet, yes. I like that illustration, and yet when the well is empty, the overflow's not there, is there?
Yeah, and it's both and. I appreciate you saying that. We have not only an evangelistic ministry, but we have a discipleship ministry.
Yes.
And I want people to understand, I'm not waving the banner of discipleship. I'm waving the banner of Jesus.
Right.
See, when you wave the banner of Jesus, you always get discipleship. You always get evangelism. And to have a biblical discipleship ministry, you have to have a ministry of evangelism that has integrity and a ministry of evangelism that feeds discipleship. You can't have one without the other. It's like rowing a boat with one oar. You're going to keep going in circles. So you have to have both. And I think if we understand that we're not consumers just of the gospel, That the purpose of our life is to be conformed to the image of Christ, to be equipped to be saints, to do the work of ministry, that we have been empowered to shoulder the ministry, then we move to gospel co-workers.
Hmm. What then does discipleship in the context of a local church look like? Or better yet, what should it look like?
Yeah. So let me define the terms of discipleship. So for me, as I study the New Testament, discipleship is intentionally equipping believers with the Word of God through accountable relationships, empowered by the Holy Spirit in order to replicate faithful followers of Christ. So the Word of God is the textbook. It's sad to say we live in a world where there are discipleship ministries encouraging people to use everything but the Bible. Faith comes by hearing, as you know, and Dr. Kennedy, you say, you know, it's the Word of God that leads people to God. So faith comes by hearing by the Word of God, through accountable relationships. So before we can do something for God, we've got to be in God. You know, who we are in Christ trumps what we ever do for Christ. And the doing and the being leads to the doing always.
So, that's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. Robbie, thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thanks.
Pleasure.
Yeah.
Pleasure to have you.
Good to be here. Thank you for having me.
As Dr. Robbie Gallaty shared, discipleship is a key to Christian growth. When we are saved, everything about us begins to change. We see things from a new perspective, an increasingly biblical perspective. In fact, we are able to see things from God's perspective. An essential prerequisite of loving God better and honoring Him in our lives is understanding how His truth applies to everything. Later in this program, we will unveil a brand new resource, one that everyone needs to have, that will help you to a greater, deeper understanding of how God's truth applies to every area of life. And as Dr. D. James Kennedy shares, the difference between the believer's view of life and that of the unbeliever is the difference between light and darkness, between life and death. Here is a portion of Dr. Kennedy's message, The Difference Faith Makes.
The German word is Weltanschauung. Did you get that? Weltanschauung. That's with two U's at the end. And it means world view. A world and life view. Our overall concept of this world as we think that it is and of the life that we live in it. Now, there are two very distinct Weltanschauungs in the world today. There is, on the one hand, the view which goes by numerous names, whether it be atheism, agnosticism, humanism, or just secularism. The essence of it is the view of unbelief. And in this view, God, Christ, religion, the Bible, prayer, are all either ignored or discarded as irrelevant relics of a less sophisticated and less enlightened and scientific past. Anachronisms out of our dim history, best forgotten in a modern age. Now, there are a number of inevitable corollaries that flow from this view. For example, their view concerning man. Man, according to them, is basically a complex and highly evolved animal. Though he may be highly complex, he is nevertheless merely an animal. He is only matter. He has no soul and no spirit. For as Carl Sagan said in the beginning of his series on cosmos, there is not and nor has there ever been anything in the universe other than matter. A very simple statement to make, but assertions and proof are two very different things. And secondly, this view holds that there are no absolute morals or God-given laws for the conduct of our lives. Since God didn't create us, he certainly has nothing to say about how we live our lives. Thirdly, there is no future destiny beyond the grave. There is no world to come, no hell to fear, no heaven to aspire unto. There is no judgment, no great assize. There is no one with whom we have to do beyond the grave. And fourthly, there is no personal fellowship with a living God, our personal creator or savior in this life. The other worldview, or Weltanschauung, is the Christian world and life view. And in this view, it is held very definitely that there is a living and present and existent triune God who has created us in his image and has given unto us his word. The corollaries of this are that we are creatures made in the image and likeness of the everlasting God and therefore are of infinite value, much more than many sparrows or any other animal creation. We have, secondly, an absolute morality, a God-given set of laws concerning the conduct of our lives in this world, and we are not left to simply ad lib our way through this moral morass. Thirdly, we have a glorious future which extends throughout this life and throughout all of eternity in paradise. And fourthly, we have a daily, hourly fellowship with a loving and caring Savior. And we can bring to him all of our cares and all of our burdens. And he loves us and is concerned for us. He hears us and is willing and able to help. How can you have it? You can have it even this very hour, this moment, by inviting the living, risen Christ who loved us and died for us to come into your heart, to wash you from every stain of sin, to cleanse you and make you whiter than snow, to release you from the bondage of the habits of sin, to give you a strength to live an entirely different life than you could ever live by yourself, to make you a new person in Jesus Christ, and to give you an inheritance with the saints in light, a passport to paradise itself, a purpose and meaning to your life, and a purpose and meaning that will go on for all eternity. That can be yours by faith in Jesus Christ. Yes, faith does make a difference.
As Dr. Kennedy explained, real faith makes a significant difference for this life and the next. One of the most profound examples of this truth is the amazing faithfulness and influence of my friend Johnny Erickson Tada, who has been a quadriplegic since July 1967, marking 50 years now in her wheelchair.
I'm honored that people would see this wheelchair and identify. They don't have to be a quadriplegic, they don't have to be a wheelchair user, but disabilities come at us in all shapes and sizes, in all forms and varying degrees. Some of our disabilities are very visible, others are invisible. And so when people take the insights that I've gleaned in this wheelchair and impress them on their own hearts, that means a lot.
Suffering is an unavoidable fact of life, and it's also the most difficult thing any of us faces. Johnny Erickson Tada certainly understands how it feels to deal with suffering.
When I got the news that I was going to be a quadriplegic for the rest of my life without use of my hands or my legs, and it was overwhelming and terribly depressing and suicidally despairing I was for several years. I found it very difficult to trust the God of the Bible, who in his sovereignty had allowed this to happen.
On July 30th, 1967, a diving accident changed the life of 17-year-old Johnny Erickson, who now marks half a century as a quadriplegic.
I experience this every single morning when I wake up. Please don't think I'm an expert at quadriplegia. I'm not a veteran. I deal daily with chronic pain. I deal daily with the challenges of hands that don't work and feet that don't walk. I've battled stage 3 cancer, and I wake up in the morning and I don't have the human wherewithal. I just don't. I look at the day and sometimes I'm so overwhelmed. How am I going to make it to lunchtime? Jesus, I have no resources. I can't stand the thought of somebody else coming into my bedroom this morning to exercise my legs, do my toileting routines, give me a bed bath, get me dressed, sit me up in a wheelchair, brush my teeth, blow my nose. Jesus, I can't do this. It's too much.
Johnny didn't let this accident ruin her life. She has continued forging ahead because of her steadfast faith in the complete sovereignty of God.
Somewhere along the line, a friend shared with me 10 little words that made all the difference in the world. And it was simply the phrase, God permits what he hates to accomplish that which he loves. And just like God permitted what he hated at the cross, he hated the gruesome torture of his own precious son, the murder and injustice and treason, all of these things leading up to the crucifixion of Christ. Yet he permitted what he hated to accomplish that which he loved. And my friend said to me, Johnny, that's very much the same way in your life. God permitted what he hated. I took those 10 little words and I ran with it. And I put God to the test. And over time, I began to see that, yes, the joy and the peace, this profound peace, this settledness of soul, was so satisfying to me that it was worth the inconvenience of my quadriplegia. Oh, that I might come to know this Jesus who died for me better, and that I can do it best in sharing in the fellowship of his suffering, to me was amazing.
She has gone on to speak all over the world, to write books, to sing, and to distribute wheelchairs to those in need. In 1982, she married Ken Tada.
We will only experience the love of Christ as we give his love away, as we invest our lives in others, as we serve and do ministries of mercy, as we take Christ's lead and reach out to the homeless, the poor, the disadvantaged. Jesus says, go out, find the disabled, the lame, and the blind, bring them in. As we give ourselves away, then we end up finding ourselves. It's as Jesus said, lose your life for my sake, and you'll find it. That's good advice for living.
Despite her exhausting daily challenges, Johnny presses on. She has her firm foundation built on the rock of her Redeemer, and she daily strives to make her life count.
Every day, for me, it is a divesting of myself, those sins that so easily entangle and hinder me in my walk with Christ. When we come to Christ, we make an agreement to give our lives up for His sake, to die to self and live to Christ. That's not something we're naturally inclined to do. Jesus, show me areas in my life where I can change. Jesus, I want to be a different Johnny today than I was yesterday. Help me to put sin behind me. Help me to trust you more, because I know only in that am I going to be truly satisfied and content with my life and in you. So to be most like Christ is to be sinless. We can't be sinless, but we can sin less.
Johnny Erickson Tada is one of the most inspirational, effective Christians I have ever known. But in order to become that, she needed to understand some important things about God. She needed to understand how God had a purpose for her life, even bound to her wheelchair, because He is sovereign over every part of life. She needed to learn that there's no part of her life that is unaffected by God's truth. So often, Christians find themselves frustrated in living out the Christian life because we just don't understand how the spiritual world of God melds with our own workaday world. Well, we have developed a new ministry resource to help us all go deeper in that understanding. And here's my very dear friend, Jennifer Kennedy Cassidy, to tell us more. Jennifer, welcome.
Thank you, Frank. This new book is a project our ministry is very excited about and that we're offering for the very first time. It's called Make Your Life Count, Discover God's Plan for the Rest of Your Life. There is simply no other book like this out there, which in readable, concise, understandable language explains how God relates to each of the areas of the life that surround us, from our work to the government to education to family. My father was passionate about proclaiming God's sovereignty over every part of life. Understanding God's work and God's will for every part of life will help you to live out your Christian life with newfound purpose and resolve, whether you're just going into college, raising a family, or enjoying your senior years. Quite simply, Make Your Life Count is a book that should be read by every Christian. And we want to send it to you today as our thanks for your generous donation to the ongoing work of this ministry. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org. Dr. Frank Wright, Dr. Jerry Newcomb, and other members of our ministry staff have written the chapters in this book to help you see in a fresh, new, clear way how God is at work in everything in the universe. And it answers so many questions. For instance, so many misunderstandings come because we don't distinguish the role God has given to parents from the roles He's given to government, and often falsely think our work is meaningless unless we happen to be in full-time ministry. These false ideas have spiritually paralyzed many Christians. Clear away the fog and get the clarity of a truly biblical worldview. Get the brand new book, Make Your Life Count, Discover God's Plan for the Rest of Your Life, as our thanks for your generous donation. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org.
We often use the phrase secular society, but many lack a clear understanding of what that really means. A secular society is one that either ignores God completely or relegates Him to the periphery, denying Him any meaningful role. America was founded on a Christian base by men who saw the hand of God in everything. They gave us a First Amendment to protect religious liberty. And yet, the determined effort to officially push God out of public life has been underway for decades. One favorite tactic of the secular left has been to increasingly politicize every area of life and then tell us that because politics and religion don't mix, our religion must go. Bernie Sanders, the recent socialist candidate for president, gave us a prime picture of this sort of thinking recently, noting that the nominee for deputy director of the White House Office of Management and Budget held the basic Christian belief that salvation is through Christ alone. Sanders declared him Islamophobic and angrily declared that the nominee was not fit for public office. In his vitriol, Senator Sanders gave us a telling glimpse of what life under a President Sanders would have been like. Viewpoint discrimination, litmus tests for every public servant, and a view of the historic Christian religion bordering on fascism. This is radical liberal secularism run amok. Of course, Senator Sanders appears to have only a wavering grasp on America's Constitution, which explicitly states in Article 6 that no religious test shall ever be required as a qualification to any office or public trust under the United States. Beyond that, the God of the Bible will not be shuttled off into some obscure corner, no matter how much the likes of Bernie Sanders desire it. But let's be clear about this. This process of secularization is the process of denying things which God has made abundantly clear. This radical secularization of society is a kind of moral insanity. And increasingly, we only need look around to see it every day. D. James Kennedy Ministries is standing for truth and defending your freedom. I'm Frank Wright. Thanks for joining us for Truths That Transform. We'll see you next time.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
The birth text of Protestantism, it is carved into this pulpit in front of you. As it is written, the just shall live by faith.
When I was elected president, that was just the opening of the door to the kind of reformation that had to take place. And, as soon as I was named, even before I was elected, the battle started.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.